It was a privilege to be here. I've been blessed by the worship service this far. I was thought it was interesting to gather to worship this morning at a place on Zion Road. So it's I want to bless your congregation here and heard about the work here at Jefferson City, and it's good to be here and worship with you. It's our first time in Missouri, and we have enjoyed our time here. I do welcome each of you to come to Ohio and visit us there in Ohio. If you're in the area, stop in. If you need a place to go, come and visit Ohio. There's a lot of things to do in that part of the U.S. Understand that there's been a lot going on in your church and maybe your sister church that you relate to, and different things happening this past week, and understand that that has a way of working in a congregation, and the stretch of emotions from a funeral to a wedding, that's about as broad as it gets probably, but we know that God is able and God is with you in that. And as I pondered what to share this morning, I felt led to go to the only place in Scripture where it has these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." So I invite you to turn there this morning. There's only one place, as far as I'm aware, in our whole Bible where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I'm sure you know that that is Psalms 23. Our Bible is full of the whole concept of the Lord being our shepherd, but here we have these wonderful words. And my question this morning as we go into this passage is, where do we turn to for comfort? Where do we turn to for strength? Where do we turn to for the warmth of love, for the warmth of community, for the strength that we need for life, for leadership, for courage? Where do we turn to? And I hope that by the time we get done looking at this passage this morning, that we can have answers to those questions. So again, I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. I don't know what you're facing, but I feel this morning as we look into this passage, we will find answers. If you have your Bible open at Psalm 23, and maybe you don't even need to follow along as we read this, but I invite you to stand, and I would like for us to read this passage in unison. Everyone together as we stand, either read or recite Psalm 23 all together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Thank you. You may be seated.
So I would like to ask four questions as a way to work through this psalm. And the last question is where we'll spend the majority of our time. The first question is, who wrote this psalm? Well, I think we could all agree that David wrote this psalm. Did David know anything about sheep and being a shepherd? I don't know you and what you do during the week, but I'm going to say this morning that David probably knew more about sheep than probably all of us combined. Did David know anything about the Lord being his shepherd? Again, I'm probably sure he did very much. We picture David constantly living with his sheep, and so much so that when his family and friends all gathered together for a very important feast, David wasn't around, and he wasn't even expected to be there. They had to go find him. They had to go call him from his sheep. We might find it hard to picture the scene here. Probably what comes to our mind is a pasture with sheep in it and a fence around it. We might see something when we drive through the community, a pasture with sheep. And I can't remember if I saw any being in this community, but I'm sure you have sheep around somewhere. That isn't really, well, in a situation like that. So you're driving through the community, you see this pasture, there's sheep in it. Where's the shepherd? Well, he might be on his tractor in the next field. He might be in his truck headed into town. He might be in the house in his favorite chair reading a book. Well, not so in today's passage. In this scene that we are looking at as a shepherd, there were no fences, and sheep tend to wander. Lions and bears lurk in the shadows. Sheep can't protect themselves. Rocks, crevices, cliffs, rugged, steep. Sheep have no sense of danger. Raging streams. Sheep can't swim. Wilderness. And a sheep, they need help to find food. Parasites and disease. And sheep can't clean themselves. Back to David again. He lived and breathed sheep. Was it his passion? I don't know, but I think music was his passion. But again, his role as shepherd required him to be with the sheep at all times. And he understood well the relationship between sheep and their shepherd. And I say that for us to think about our relationship with our shepherd. And the fact that back then, the shepherd needed to be with his sheep all the time. And we have that today. Our shepherd wants to be with us all the time. The second question we want to look at is what inspired David to write this psalm? So we can picture David laying on his back, enjoying the cool breeze, sheep grazing contentedly nearby, watching the fluffy white clouds float through the sky, listening to the rippling stream, maybe humming a tune while this new psalm developed in his mind. I rather think that's a false conception. What inspired David to write this psalm? Was he a shepherd boy in the pasture with his sheep? A few commentators feel that this psalm was written during the happening in 2 Samuel 15 when David was leaving his palace to flee from Absalom, his son. Most commentaries believe that it was written at the end of his life rather than at the beginning of his life. Verse 5, it says that he had enemies. So obviously he was old enough that people were opposing him. Probably not a young lad. So I think it's fair to say that David was writing this psalm not when things were at its the best, but probably when things could have been much better, maybe even when things were at the worst. David may have been reflecting back across the years of his life, and he might have been, as he analyzed what happened in his life, he may have reflected, "The Lord is my shepherd." We can conclude this, I believe, as we go into this psalm, that it's pain, not pleasure, that helps us realize we need a shepherd. And here we have the scene of Jesus being our shepherd. We are the sheep. The third question we want to look at is, how can we experience the Lord as your shepherd? And that's really for us this morning. How can you experience the Lord as your shepherd? This psalm, I asked a question earlier, where can we go to for the warmth of love? Where can we turn to for comforting care? Where can we look for support, for leadership, for guidance? We have a shepherd. Now, as we look at Psalm 23, it's probably one of the best known psalms out there. It's probably one that we hear a lot, most people use. However, I would say this morning that Psalm 23 is probably one of the most abused psalms.
Because we look in Psalm 23 and we come away with a distorted idea that we have been promised a life free of opposition. We've been promised a life free from discord, from pain, and free from difficulty simply because the Lord is my shepherd. Nothing should go wrong with our life, surely, because the Lord is my shepherd. However, nothing can be further from the truth. And to really understand Psalm 23, we need to understand what comes before Psalm 23. And we're not going to take the time to look at Psalm 22, but we need to understand that Psalm 23 comes after Psalm 22. And what happens in Psalm 22? Spurgeon says, the position of this psalm is worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd, which is the Psalm of the Cross. There are no green pastures, no still waters on the other side of the 22nd Psalm. It is only after we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we come to the Lord is my shepherd. We must by experience know the value of blood shedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able to know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. End quote. Psalm 23 comes after Psalm 22. And I believe it comes after Psalm 22 on purpose. It comes after Psalm 22 for a reason. We must first see the Psalm of the Cross before we can see the Lord as our shepherd. We must first understand that that Psalm 22 is there for a reason. It is fulfilled as Christ is crucified. This psalm, written thousands of years before, or a thousand years before Jesus is born, he would die on the cross. He would be surrounded by Gentiles. He would be crucified between two transgressors. They would cast lots for his clothes. He would be thirsty and have his tongue cleave to the roof of his mouth. He would be stabbed in his side. All these things are foretold in Psalm 22. And so we have this gruesome psalm before we have the blessing of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So how can we experience the Lord as our shepherd? You and I this morning, and for all people, it's only after we understand the reality of living the cross that we can say the Lord is my shepherd. Too many people want to claim the Lord as my shepherd, but they do not want to experience the cross. And this morning, as we look into Psalm 23, this psalm is only for those people who have chosen Jesus as their personal shepherd. And it's only as they have chosen the way of the cross that we can experience the Lord as our shepherd. So the answer to the question, how can we experience the Lord as our shepherd? It's by the way of the cross that we can experience Jesus as our shepherd. So now for the remainder of the message, we want to look at the question, what does it mean to have the Lord as your shepherd? I see three categories in this psalm. And we want to break this apart a little bit and look at each of these categories. But as I look at the Lord as your shepherd, and what does this mean for us? I want to give you some words this morning as we go through this. And we're going to start with three categories, and that is caretaker, companion, and champion. As we look into these verses, we will see this. Verse 1 is a summary of the whole psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes through and it breaks it apart for us into different categories. But just think about that for a moment before we go on. I shall not want. Did you have any wants this past week? What did you do about those wants? Did you get what you wanted? Did you accomplish your wants? You know, we live in a world full of wants. People are searching for a solution for their wants. They have desires, they have needs, and they have wants. So what does it mean that I shall not want? Does it mean that all those wants will be satisfied?
I would say this morning that we will not find the answer for our wants in the world. We will find the answer to our wants in following our shepherd. And if Jesus is not our shepherd, you will want, you will lack, you will not have what you need. So I feel as we look into this, we will see how our wants will be taken care of. Maybe not the way we want, but the way God, our shepherd, or Jesus, our shepherd, would have them be. So let's look at the idea of Jesus being our caretaker. We find this in verse 2. Jesus as our caretaker. A caretaker is one who takes care of something. Maybe you're a caretaker of a building or maybe a property. But a caretaker is one who takes care of something or someone. And so we have our shepherd as our caretaker, and he is taking care of what? Of us. So what does our caretaker do for us? Well, here in verse 2, we see three things he does for us. He gives us rest, he gives us refreshment, and he gives us restoration. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, it's interesting to note that this psalm starts out with the idea of rest. Do you think of your Christian life as a life of rest? How much rest do you experience in your life? Now, I know we're blessed and we experience a lot of peace in our lives and we're grateful for that. But in our journey, even a journey of pain and of death, there can be a moment of rest. And this morning, our caretaker shepherd sees that we find rest. There's plenty of activity later. The shepherd guides and leads his sheep. He takes them to green pastures. He takes them through the valley of death. Life is not portrayed in this psalm as a place to lay down in. It's not a fold to lay down in, but it's a path that the sheep must rest. And in that path, we find rest. And that's because our shepherd makes sure that we have rest. Now, I'm told that there's four things that sheep must experience before they will lie down. Again, I'm not familiar with sheep, and if you are, you may know more about this than I do, but I'm told that there's four things that sheep must experience, and the first is that he must be free from fear. He will not lie down and rest if he has fear. The second is he will not lie down if there is friction in the flock. If he feels threatened by another sheep, he won't lie down and rest. The third one is he will not lie down if he is tormented by flies or parasites. So if there's some type of a pest, he won't lie down and rest. And the fourth one is he will not lie down if he is hungry. So we have fear, friction, pests, or hunger. He will not lie down and rest. Now, before we think of that more, let's just think about the green pastures that our shepherd provides for us. What do green pastures look like? Well, I'm sure you know that green pastures don't just happen by chance. It takes hard work to make green pastures. Rocks need to go, brush, roots, stumps, weeds, thistles. The ground needs to be carefully prepared for a good, healthy grass to be planted and nourished. And our shepherd does that for us so that we can experience rest. 2 Timothy has this to say. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what our shepherd caretaker does for us so that we can have rest. So think about the four things again. Fear, friction, pests, or hunger. What better solution for fear than to trust our shepherd caretaker? What better answer for friction in the flock than to follow Jesus, our caretaker shepherd? What about the pests? Maybe we could call those the besetting sins, those little things in our life that want to distract us, that want to destroy us. What better solution for them is Jesus, our shepherd? And what about hunger? Who can feed us better than our shepherd again? And so that's why we have a caretaker shepherd. He gives us rest. The second thing he does for us as our caretaker, he gives us refreshment. And we mentioned that in verse 2 here, talks about green pastures. We find refreshment in the green pastures. Verse 2 also says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The emphasis here is the abundance and the delightfulness and the ease of obtaining nourishment that we as his shepherds so much need. You know, sheep, they may be able to survive in drier climates, but they still need water. And finding that water requires the shepherd. Sheep are unable to find water. They need somebody to help them. This morning, as sheep, we cannot find refreshing water without our caretaker shepherd. Jeremiah says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So you have a choice this morning. You can drink from the wells of this world, or you can drink from the water that our caretaker shepherd would provide for us. The question is, what are you drinking? Does it refresh your souls? Our caretaker shepherd gives us refreshment. Our caretaker shepherd also offers us restoration, and we find that in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David knew what it was to have a soul that needs to be restored. And that's why we gather together to worship. It's for our souls to be restored. Remember, David probably wrote this at the end of his life. He had faced many difficulties in his life. He was well aware of what it felt like to be restored. He wrote these words. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" Do you know what a cast sheep is? I'm told it's an old English term for a sheep that was rolled over on its back and it couldn't get up. I'm told also, again, I don't know this firsthand, but I'm told that there are certain types of sheep that they're prone to do this. They'll roll over on their backs and they can't help themselves. And so we need to be restored. Someone needs to help them. This morning, where do you reach out for restoration? Who do you reach out to for help? May I suggest this morning that our best way to restore our souls is with our caretaker, shepherd. Do you have a soul that needs restored? There's a yearning in our heart. There's a yearning in every heart. And where do we reach out to for that help in that? The path to restoration lies in following our shepherd. Our sheep, need that. We as sheep need that as well. Our shepherd will be our companion. That's the second word we want to look at this morning. He will be our companion. And we find that as we look at verse 4 and a couple of these verses. Our shepherd will be our companion, and there's three things again that he does for us as our companion. He gives us confidence, he gives us courage, and he gives us comfort. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." We can walk through the darkest valley because we have a shepherd who is our companion and he gives us confidence. And I say that carefully this morning because death is difficult. It's hard. And yet, how would we face life if we did not have a shepherd as our companion to give us confidence? Notice, and I want to highlight that what he says here, it is the valley of the shadow of death. This is the valley of the shadow of death. It does not speak of death itself, but merely the shadow of death. And I think that's important for us as we think about our caretaker shepherd and what he does as our companion. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We shrink from valleys. We don't like the hard times. But it's only a shadow. It's not the real thing. We can bypass actual death. And we know that physically we will die, but we're talking about spiritual death, where we can experience with Jesus the eternal life that will help us as we journey through this life. We do pass by the shadow of death, sickness, discouragement, hard times, the death of loved ones. We shrink from death. We shrink from valleys. However, we can have courage. We can have confidence because we have a caretaker who is our companion. Verse 4, we also find that our caretaker, shepherd, who is our companion, he gives us courage. And it says here in verse 4, it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Think about David as he wrote this. He was a shepherd boy, and he faced lions, he faced bear, he faced danger. And he wrote for us, he said that the Lord is our shepherd. That means that he will give us courage. Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Notice he did not promise that there will be no evil, but we need not fear because he will drive away the evil. I will fear no evil. There will be evil. There will be hard times. There will be difficult times. But our companion will give us courage. The other thing our companion will do for us is he will give us comfort. Verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're probably not as familiar with a rod and a staff as what David was, but they were symbols of the shepherd's authority. He had them for a reason, and his strength, and what we have here is they gave the shepherd extra strength and extra protection. He used them as a tool, and so they embodied this. So as we read this about the rod and the staff, we think about the extra ability that it gave to the shepherd. The rod was used to beat off predators, and the staff was used to guide the sheep. And I would assume that a sheep with a shepherd's crook, as we picture it around its neck, it probably wasn't the most physically comfortable thing. And probably the prods and the nudges from the shepherd were probably somewhat irritating, and they probably weren't pleasant. And I would suggest for us this morning that sometimes things in life may not be pleasant, they may not be comfortable, they may not be what we want, but in them we need to find comfort that it's our companion, our shepherd, that is nudging us and prodding us and guiding us. He's helping us go where we should go. So this morning, whatever you are facing, your shepherd has walked the path before us, a good shepherd. He knows where he's leading his flock, and he's there to help and to direct and to guide. And that's what he's doing for us as our companion. He is comforting us, he is guiding us, he is keeping us. So remember, we have a shepherd who is our companion. We have a shepherd who is our caretaker, he is our companion, and he is also our champion. And maybe this is a little different way of thinking about the Lord as our shepherd. We may not use the term champion much as we think about the Lord as our shepherd. But it seems when we get to the end of this psalm, it seems like the scene switches a little bit. And we have here more a scene where the shepherd is becoming a host, and he has his sheep with him as honored guests at a banquet. And I want us to feel that this morning. Think about a champion. He is a winner. He is someone who has overcome. He is someone who does battle for someone else. And so think about that as you think about our shepherd and what he does for us. Think about what Jesus does for us. And so we see some benefits about thinking about Jesus as our shepherd and as our champion. So what does our champion do for us? Well, I'd like to break it down into three things again. And that is in verse 5, he gives us, our champion provides us with safety. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It appears here, again, like the scene has shifted and we're together with our shepherd. He is our champion. He cares for us. And we are safe, even though our enemies are lurking around us. Think again about our lives as Christians. We live in a world that is full of danger. Death is lurking around every corner. There's evil all around us. But we are safe because we have a shepherd who is our champion. He fights the battles for us. He gives us strength to face whatever we want to face, even though our enemies are lurking very close, and maybe we are even unaware of what is all around us. The question for us, though, is this talks about a time of feasting. We can feast with our shepherd. The question for us is, where are we feasting? Are we feasting with our shepherd? That's the zone of safety. Or are we feasting in the world? That's the enemy's territory. If we want the safety of our champion, we need to feast with him in his territory. Our champion, he provides us safety. He also provides us sympathy. And we find that in verse 5. It says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And here again, this might be a little bit strange for us to understand, but oil was used to protect and to heal. And I would like to portray this morning the idea that our shepherd enters into our feelings. He enters into our lives. He enters into us emotionally. He understands us. Oil was used to protect and to heal, and the shepherd did this for his sheep to keep them healthy and to keep them free from disease and ailment. David, he knew what it was like to have his head anointed with oil. And this signified God entering into his life to enable him to be king. This morning, our shepherd wants to enter into our life, not really in a physical way, but he wants to enter into our soul and our spirit and into our feelings. He wants to help us. He provides us with sympathy. He understands what we are feeling. He understands what we are facing. And he wants to be our champion in that. He wants to help us be victorious so that we can feel strong in him. As it says in Isaiah, he wants to give them beauty for ashes. He wants to give the oil of joy for mourning. He wants to give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wants us to be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he can be glorified. That's what our champion shepherd will do for us. And then in verse 5, we also find the thing of my cup runneth over. Our champion provides us with satisfaction. Our shepherd fully satisfies our every need, not just barely, but my cup runneth over. Each one of us is searching for satisfaction. As I said, we have wants, we have needs, we're searching for that something. And here we have it. Our champion shepherd, he provides us with satisfaction. We can be satisfied. We can have our needs met, and we can have our soul's desires met. This satisfaction is also mentioned in the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is about this life. And maybe we think about this as sometime later, but I believe we can experience this in this life because we don't have enemies, so we know that this is talking about a time when we can face enemies. We don't have valleys in heaven. We don't have evil in heaven. There's no shadow of death in heaven. So we know that this psalm is talking about something that we can experience now. And I believe this last verse is also referring to something that we can experience now because we have a shepherd who is our champion, who will help us overcome and who will meet our needs. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is describing here blessings that are the birthright of every Christian. Every Christian can experience this as they open themselves up to the leading of the Good Shepherd. This is a picture of earthly experience that we can experience as we have the Lord as our shepherd. We can experience the goodness and mercy, and it can follow us all the days of our life so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We do not need to pursue God's blessing. God's blessing will pursue us as we follow the Good Shepherd. It's a byproduct of following the Good Shepherd. He is our champion, and he is all that we need. So that's the key this morning, is to follow the Good Shepherd. And while we follow the Good Shepherd, while we journey with him, his goodness and mercy will be with us. So I want to leave that for you this morning. Make sure the Lord is your shepherd. Make sure you keep your eyes on the Good Shepherd, and he will be your caretaker. He will be your companion, and he will be your champion. He will go before you, and he will lead you on that way. So this morning, through this week, whatever you are facing in your life, may he grant you peace and help you find your way. I invite you to kneel for prayer.